Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'll do my best here. Phone rings, door chimes, in comes company. All right, I'll let the cast of the new Broadway revival company actually sing it for you.
Phone rings, door chimes, in comes company. No strings, good times, just chums company. Late nights, quick bites, party games, deep talks, long walks, telephone calls.
That is actually from a Tiny Desk concert from our colleagues over at NPR. And it's the opening number of Stephen Sondheim and George Firth's 1970 musical. Traditionally about a single man turning 35 in New York City and his married friends wondering whether he's ever going to settle down. But in this new staging directed by Marianne Elliott, Bobby with a Y becomes Bobby with an IE. She's a 35-year-old woman played by Tony Award winner Katrina Length. Other characters have been gender swapped, like Bobby's three suitors and her best friend, formerly Amy, now a gay man named Jamie, fleeing from his fiance Paul on his wedding day. He's played by Matt Doyle. With cool but vibrant sets and staging, show-stopping renditions of Sondheim's most famous songs, and a scene-stealing performance from the one and only Patti LuPone, this revival is not one to miss. Company is running now at the Menard Jacobs Theater, and we're joined now by Katrina Lenk. Hi, Katrina.
Hi.
And Matt Doyle, who stars as Jamie. Hi, Matt.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm great. I love theater people because you guys were here on time, early,
yes,
in your seats with your headphones on. Live theater people are the best for life. So, Katrina, when we first meet your Bobby, the 35-year-old woman starring the show, what is preventing her from settling down?
Oh my goodness, just start right out with that tough question. I think lots of things are things she's super focused on her friends, and she's very much a people pleaser and a caretaker and very outwardly focused, so not really spending a lot of time thinking about what her wants are or her needs are. And then everything sort of changes on this birthday, or she starts, her subconscious sort of takes over, and she's kind of figuring out what needs to change about herself.
But through the show, she seems to start to possibly consider marriage. What do you think starts to shift?
I think she's wrestling with herself and what she wants, and wrestling with the, I think she kind of gives herself permission to consider what she wants. And maybe it's not necessarily marriage, you know, right away, but maybe it's just like the permission to be herself.
Let's hear a little bit about the song, Someone is Waiting. This is, again, from the Tiny Desk concert, which was really, really fun. This is Katrina Lenk from Company.
Someone will hold me safe as David, silly and solid. Larry, someone will wake me warm as Jamie, loyal as David, and loving as Paul. Did I know?
So let's bring Jamie into the conversation.
Hello.
So Matt, hello. So I'm curious, when was the first time you ever encountered Company?
The first time I encountered Company was in high school, actually. There was a local community theater production of it, and I knew a lot of Sondheim's work at that point, but Company is one that I think a lot of musical theater kids maybe access just a little bit later. Mm-hmm. It's got more of an adult taste to it, and we identify with it later in life. And I remember falling in love with it then just because the music is so beautiful. And it was my first introduction to being alive and my first introduction to getting married today. And I was fascinated by that song as well.
So what did you think when you came to the understanding, like, oh my gosh, they're going to swap all these roles and I might actually get to sing that song?
Well, I knew that the production had to happen in the UK and I thought it was a brilliant idea. And I heard about all these gender swaps, but I really, even though I know Marianne and we had worked together previously, it's just not something I ever anticipated mm-hmm. for myself. And especially with getting married today, when I finally had the opportunity to go in and to actually get to sing for Jamie and then to be told that I was going to do it, all I kept on thinking is I have watched so many of my like heroines of comedy and these legends over the years do this song. I you know, as I got older, I became very, very interested in this musical. And it was just nothing that I ever thought I would take on. I mean, it was something that I always just appreciated from afar and respected so much, watching people like Katie Finneran do this. People, of course, like Madeline Kahn do this, that brilliant performance of hers. And so I was terrified, to be completely blunt. I was absolutely terrified to take on the responsibility of it. Mm. And not just the responsibility of living up to the people that had created it, but also the responsibility of making sure that it was something new. And that was really, really, really scary. But I think I had 2 years and a pandemic to get over the fear.
Well, for people who aren't familiar, you have a song in the show, which you have to sing so, so quickly. And we don't have a cast album yet, hopefully yeah. soon. But we do have a recording of Melissa Errico doing her rendition yes. of Space in our own, in the green space, at WNYC's green space.
Oh, so amazing.
Yeah, let's listen to a little bit of it.
Listen, everybody, look, I don't know what you're waiting for, a wedding. What's a wedding? It's a prehistoric ritual where everybody promises fidelity forever, which is maybe the most horrifying word I've ever heard, and which is followed by a honeymoon. Well, suddenly he'll realize he's settled with a nut and want to kill me, which he should to listen. Thanks a bunch, but I'm not getting married. Go have lunch, but I'm not getting married. You've been grand, but I'm not getting married. Don't just stand there. I'm not getting married, and don't tell Paul, but I'm not getting married today.
What is the process for learning that song?
Oh gosh, the process at first is absolute muscle memory with you know, with the words, and allowing patience in that, and starting slow and slowly adding the speed. But I'll tell you, I think something that's happened with the song over the years, and this is no like slight at all to anyone that's done it before, but I think it's become a bit of a speed test over the years. And what I appreciate so much about Marianne is that she, almost to a point that frustrated me in rehearsals, really made me go slow and break down each individual thought. And that actually made the song so much easier, because breaking down the thoughts and really, 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 really being clean with the intentions only helped the words. And I flubbed very little as a result of it. And once we added the speed and everything else and the chaos that happens in the number, it was I was grateful for her kind of slow training on the song. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was training for a sport or something.
Katrina, you have such a challenge because you are on stage almost the entire show. I mean, this show really rests on your shoulders. I'm telling you something you already know. What did you do to prepare for this? I know you all had a big, long time to think about it. We can talk about the pandemic at the end, but what did you do to prepare to be able to shoulder this show?
Lots of working out. And and what was really great, like Matt said, you know, we had those 2 years to think about it. And also when we came back, we had a full 5 week rehearsal process in the studio, and then a week or 2 weeks of tech in the theater. So the preparation was built in to all, you know, 6 days a week of rehearsal, and then so 8 hour days. So it was kind of within, you know, the whole rehearsal process was the preparation for the show.
My guess,
which seems redundant. I mean, like, duh, but still, you know, like physically you kind of yeah. train yourself without even trying, I guess, because you're there doing it every day for that time.
My guests are Katrina Lenk and Matt Doyle. They are part of the excellent cast of the show Company, currently running at the Bernard Jacobs Theater. So Katrina, with the gender swap, what is an interesting nuance to the show? What do you think that brings a nuance to the show that isn't there in the original, even though the original's great?
I think there's maybe just the more most obvious thing is when a woman turns 35, mm-hmm. you know, we're told that then, you know, you would have like a geriatric pregnancy at that age, or so there's mm-hmm. just like the actual the clock is ticking in it kind of a different way than it is for a man when he turns 35. So there's that subtle, that pressure mm-hmm. is a little bit different for a woman than for a man. So there's already just that sort of nuance running through, like time is actually, the time to choose is limited at mm-hmm. that age because choices start to get a little bit smaller. Mm-hmm. So that's one.
Matt, how about for you? What do you think are some of the nuances of Amy becoming Jamie?
Well, I mean, I think the most obvious one being that gay marriage is a very recent right mm-hmm. and something that we fought really, really, really hard for. And something that's happened, I think, with gay culture is we've always, you know, in gay culture, there's always been this great pride around being unique and not necessarily fitting into societal norms and celebrating that. And so now that we're given this, you know, heteronormal thing that is a wonderful thing that we fought for and deserve the right mm-hmm. for, a lot of couples are facing the idea, and this is a line that's actually been added into the scene, which is just because we can, should we, you know, just because we have this right, do we need to do this? You know, mm-hmm. is this an answer for us? And I think that's an anxiety that gets laid into an already very, very anxious scene. And that's exciting to play just because, I mean, I know I've faced that. I know so many friends of mine that mm-hmm. got married the first year that it was a right given to us and broke up months later, you know, because you weren't necessarily thinking it through.
I'm glad you brought up the changing of the lyrics because and the adding of lines. Mm-hmm. I want to play a little bit of the original version of You Could Drive a Person Crazy, sung by the three people that Bobby is dating. This is a rendition with the original lyrics performed for a 2011 PBS special. Let's listen.
Bobby, baby, Bobby, movie, Bobby, you could drive a person buggy. You could blow a person cool. First you make a person feel all huggy, while you make her feel a fool. When a person says that you upset her, that's when you're good. You impersonate a person better than a zombie should. I could understand a person.
So that's the Bobby with a Y version, the male Bobby. Let's hear the rendition from Bobby, i.e. Bobby's Men. This was performed at the Tiny Desk concert as well.
Bobby, baby, Bobby, 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 you could drive a person frantic. You could blow a person's cool. Like to get a person all romantic, why you make him feel a fool? But when a person says you just don't get her, that's when you're good. You impersonate a person better than a zombie should. I could understand a person if she wasn't good in bed.
She's good.
No, I could understand a person if she actually was dead. Exclusive view, elusive view. Will any person ever get the juice of you? You're crazy. You're a troubled person. You're a moving, deeply maladjusted, never to be trusted. Crazy person, yourself. Bobby is my hobby and I'm giving it up.
Katrina, how do you think the lyrics, the changing, changes the tone of the show when you hear those back to back?
Well, it's I'm the worst at answering these questions. There's we assume that of course a woman wants to commit. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't we just societally assume like all women want to get married. They want to do this, mm-hmm. this, and this. And so I love that it you know, flips that on its head. Like, yes, there are women that are also maybe not into committing, or, you know, we mm-hmm. are people too. So, I like that a lot. It feels very real.
It's also interesting to hear just kind of the aggression and the masculinity in the new lyrics in the second version versus versus the original version and how they're responding to Bobby. And every lyric change did obviously come from Mr. Sondheim himself. And this is the last time that he's going to get to kind of revise and work on his own work and tinker with his own work. But he was very, very much a part of every single tiny change that went into the show.
What did that mean to you, Katrina, to have Stephen Sondheim so involved?
I mean, what a gift. And we knew at the time how special that was. And what was so one of the wonderful qualities about him was that he loved tinkering and loved keeping working on things and investigating, and was so much a part of all of the little changes. And that was such a thrill to witness and be a part of. And we knew it was special at the time, and now that he's not around and able to do it with us, it's even more special.
My guests are Matt Doyle and Katrina Lenk. We're talking about Company, which is running at the Bernard Jacobs Theater. So let's talk about the costuming and the look of this show, because, you know, I think it was the 2006 revival with Raul Sparza. Is very, you know, it's very black and white, and they're sort of in suits, and it's very stark, and this is colorful and vibrant, and there's gorgeous lighting, and the sets move and shift, and you were wearing an awesome red jumpsuit for the entire show. How does that fit your character, and what do you like about the costuming they've chosen and the color?
Well, first of all, shout out to Bunny Christie, who designed the set and the costumes. She's incredible. I like that it's kind of all, like you said, very vibrant and extreme, because these are, it's like a party. So there's this sort of party festivities kind of feel going on, but also it gets intense and more intense as the pressure in Bobby's head goes on, because the show kind of all takes place in Bobby's head. So it's like, yay, a party. And then it just kind of gets more and more and more intense. And I love how the set and the lighting and the costumes kind of reflect that.
I love that you're bright red and we're just drawn into you as a result, because you were wondering, why are all these friends so invested in this character? And she's so vibrant and just electric, and then looks stunning in her red suit.
It's such a New York centric show. Matt, what do you think is particularly New York about?
Oh my gosh, everything, literally everything. I mean, it really is like the quintessential New York musical. And we talk about New York from the very beginning, and that's laid into everything in our show, the sound design, the lighting, all the work that Bunny's done on the show as well. It's got one of the most iconic New York songs ever written, which is Another 100 People. And, it's such a thrill to get to come back to Broadway and be a part of something in the reopening of Broadway that is such a love letter to the city. And it really is, you know, we're if you're a New Yorker, you know what it's like to feel on top of each other in this city, you know, to feel like you can't escape that kind of community. And the way we work socially is so a part of Company. And it's after being isolated for so long, to get to come back and celebrate that and what is New York is so special.
Yeah, I was going to ask that, you know, it's a moment, coming at such an interesting moment, because it was in previews before the pandemic and the shutdown, and thank goodness it was able to come back. But I think it has a different meaning after all that time, because people were craving Company. Like, you wanted to see your friends. You wanted Company. That really, like, to your point earlier, you might have been like, oh, yeah, I can do without that tonight. And now it's like, oh, we want Company. We want it.
Yeah. And especially in a time where people are craving to go back to theater, you know, to what better to go back to theater and also celebrate the thing that we've all missed the most is being with one another and having an experience together. So a theatrical experience. And then you're also watching this show that is literally all about experiencing one another and learning from one another and taking what you need from one another and teaching each other.
Katrina, during the downtime, what were you thinking about the show? How were you thinking about the show? How are you thinking about your own place in the theater community?
It was constantly changing. There would be, you know, at the very beginning, we were thinking, oh, well, we'll be back in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. So keep it really fresh and go over the lines. And I think we even had a couple of Zoom meetings with the cast where we ran through the lines and we even like, we tried to run the musical numbers somehow and like go over the choreography naivete. And then, you know, as the time stretched on, there were times where it felt like ridiculous to even think about the show. Mm-hmm. It was painful. Like you didn't know whether to hope for it or to let it go. It was just a weird place to be in. But it was still, I had voice lessons every week on Zoom with my voice coach, Joan Later, and we were, you know, working on things. And so that it helped to have some little something to hold on to during that time. And we were still Zooming with each other off and on, the cast, you know, not doing the lines, but just like
drinking,
just talking about what drinking mostly, but just, you know, keeping in touch with each other, which I think was so, so helpful just to maintain that connection during that time.
Yeah, we Matt, really came back stronger as a result of it, though. I mean, we were such a family by the time we came back because we had lived through this collective trauma.
What was it like when you stepped on the stage, Matt, after that first night?
It was unbelievable. You know, it was funny because actually Patty kept saying, we need to have a moment before the show where we can look at the audience and the audience can appreciate us because obviously they'll explode. It was our first night back. And I don't think emotionally we'd be able to handle that if we were doing that in the scene. And I remember thinking like, oh no, I don't want to do that. That makes me uncomfortable. I don't want to walk out and like have a moment just like where we just get to, you know, stand in front of people cheering for us. I was like, I just want to do the show. And then we did it. And thank God we did because I was bawling. Everything Patty said was right. Patty's always right.
What do you think? Patty's always right.
Yeah. And the audience exploded and it went on for so long. And I was like, well, thank God we did that. I would have been a mess. Yeah.
Company. And it was really wonderful to have. Oh, I'm so sorry. No. I just want to say it was really wonderful to have Sondheim there with us that night of our first preview. So he got to witness that huge response and be a part of that. And that was really extraordinary too.
He stood up in every standing ovation. It was beautiful. Yeah, it was amazing.
Company is running at the Bernard Jacobs Theater. I've been speaking with Katrina Lenk and Matt Doyle. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.